Okay, hello and welcome. I'm Heather.
And I'm Laura.
We are Sweet Sweet Death. And yes, today we've been blessed with Laura's presence.
Finally back. I'm sorry, I missed. I know everyone missed me.
So yeah, you've probably got some tales to tell, just family visiting and
just a few. Yeah, okay. I guess, like, not much. I feel like it was pretty uneventful, but, like, just family, you know, there's always, like, that family kind of drama. You know, my dramatic sister, Hannah, she came to see us all. Like, I love Hannah. She's sweet, but she is just very drama.
And,
oh, my gosh. So, I think it was, like, the second night. The first night, it was, like, really nice. We were all together. Because she's a bartender. She made us, like, all shots or whatever. We're just, like, all drinking normal
family stuff. How old is she right
now? She just turned 21 in June.
Oh, okay. So, wow. Yeah.
And then, Emma, Garrett, my brother, like, my mom and them all went to the dispensary that first night, like, down at Maggie's farm. They got, like, a whole bunch of stuff.
In Manitou?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so expensive.
Yeah, I know. I told them that. I was like, whatever.
Like, you're going to pay twice as much.
My fucking little brother was high as fuck. He was just, like, sitting there, like, I'm not even kidding. His eyes were barely open. He wasn't, like, saying anything. He's just like,
uh-oh.
And then Emma and I are talking. Hannah's, you know, making his drinks, whatever. Yeah. My little brother, Mason. But it was, like, a good night, like, nice. Like, we went outside, had s'mores and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't eat any, but yeah. And then the next night, we were, like, all going to make dinner. So we went to the grocery store. We got all this stuff. Hannah didn't want to eat. My mom was, like, making salmon and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And then, obviously, like, a little vegan side dish. And then fucking Hannah was, like, apparently she told my mom she wanted fucking chicken. My mom told us that Hannah wanted beef. So we got her one of those, like, home-cooked meal things. It came with, like, these little, like, sirloin pieces and, like, garlic and, like, herbs and, like, a little thing of asparagus. And, like, it was all in this box. It looked fancy as fuck.
Yeah.
We get it for her. We come home. And it's, like, 6 at night, okay?
Yeah.
And Hannah, I guess, was taking a nap. She, like, comes out of the room. She's like, can you guys be a little more respectful? I'm in this room sleeping.
It's 6 at night, dude.
And we were all just like, and Rachel's like, well, this isn't really sleeping time. She's like, I'm in the other room and you guys are being loud as fuck. And then we're just like, okay.
Oh my God.
And then she like sees that there's like salmon on the counters. We just got back from the store. She's like, why is salmon being made?
Ooh.
Hannah says she's allergic
fuck?
She says she's allergic to fish and we're trying to kill her or whatever. And then
wait. Is this like a new thing you guys just learned about, or
she's always said it, but I don't really know if it's
And your mom's never confirmed.
We ate seafood growing up, so I don't know if it just. I mean, it could have appeared, or I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
with her
at some point,
who knows?
She was convinced she was allergic to fish.
Yeah, and cayenne pepper apparently, because I made soup. She's like, "Does this have cayenne pepper?" Or cinnamon, something like that. Yeah. Something with a C. I was just like, okay, whatever. But then. So she's like, why is salmon being made? We're like, we got you this, Hannah. Like, a little, like, we show her, like, the little box thing. I'm not eating that. And then she, like, fucking storms off to the room. And we're like,
what the fuck?
So then Rachel, so then Rachel goes into the room. She's like, Hannah, why aren't you going to eat this? She's like, I asked for chicken. Like, freaking out.
You were 21 years old. And you're having a temper tantrum over chicken because during your nappy nap time at 6 in the evening.
Yeah. What the fuck? I was so confused. I was like, So then I told her, I was like, Hannah, hey, because, like, she's, like, so sensitive. I just knew, like, if we, like, don't try to be, like, nice to her, she'll freak out and leave or something like that. So then I was like, I'll go and get you chicken. She's like, don't fucking bother. I won't eat it.
Oh, my God.
And then she, like, starts slamming around. She comes out of the room. She's just, like, standing there, like, staring at me so evil. I was like, I'm going to get you the chicken. She's like, don't bother. She's, like, standing at me.
Whoa.
I was like, it's fine. I'm going. She's like, ah. Then she, like, storms off or whatever. Apparently, while I'm gone, my sister Rachel went into the room. And she's like, Hannah, why aren't you going to eat this? Like, it's a nice little meal. It's not, like, pre-cooked or anything. Like, you cook it yourself.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm not fucking, whatever, freaking out. And then Rachel's like, you're being a fucking bitch. Like, if you don't fucking like it here, then go stay with your little friends in Denver or whatever. Like, apparently she has a friend here in Denver.
Yeah.
So then, they got into this huge screaming match. By the time I got back from the store, Hannah's, like, throwing shit. Like,
oh, my God.
She's fucking packing her bags, all that. Then she, like, storms out of the house, slams the door. I'm going for a run. And then, like, she comes back, like, 10 minutes later because it was freezing cold.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like,
what day was it? Because there was, like,
it was, like,
some
right,
cold
it,
days
it was, like,
week.
Really, literally, like, right before Halloween, I think, like, the night
Halloween
or two
was so
before
cold,
Halloween.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, Jesus. So, yeah, she fucking's having a freak out, crying. Then my mom's in the room, like, trying to talk to her. And she's not listening to her. And then I go in there and then we're like all three in there. And then Hannah's like, I was like, Hannah, come on. I was like, you know how Rachel is. She's like, I actually don't. I don't know how she is because I don't know how this family is. I like, she's just like, you know, like being like so dramatic. I was like, oh my God. Like, she's like, you guys were making fun of me. And I was like, what? I was like, no, we weren't. I was like, I thought we were all like laughing. And like, she was talking about the first night she was here. I was just like so confused. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So then like Rachel finally went in there, like told her to stay or whatever, she stayed the night. But then like, yeah, that was just like fun little like family drama thing. And then
that's so funny, that escalated so quickly from just being woken up from a late nap.
Yeah,
dude, that is a late nap. Like, if I took a nap that late, I'd be like, I'm fucked.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna fall asleep till 3 a.m.
That's how I feel. I'm like, and it's like dinner time and like, why are, yeah, I don't know.
I would not be angry people woke me. I'd be angry they didn't wake me up earlier. Like, literally. Why did you let me sleep in this late? I'm fucked.
Yeah. And apparently earlier that day, too, like, they had gone to the zoo and I had to work, so I wasn't there. But, like, Emma brought up something about, like, a guinea pig. And then the guinea pig that died. Yeah. And then she, like, started freaking out. She's like, I don't want to talk about this. That was a repressed memory for me or something like that. And like, yeah, she was just like all day she was like freaking out on them.
Oh my God, this girl is magic, dude. She needs her own camera crew.
Literally. And then like she went to Denver or whatever with her friend for like Halloween.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, that too. So then like she was supposed to be back in time to go trick-or-treating, to take Ellie trick-or-treating, because it was like her first Halloween, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Hannah's like, oh, I'll be there, da da da. But I guess she was running late, and then like she texted my mom or something, and my mom didn't get it because her phone was on silent. And then I ended up not going, so I was like, it's so fucking cold out, like I'm not leaving the house, like, or whatever. And so then I was just like inside at my house, and then they're like down at Lisa's or whatever, she lives like up north kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hannah calls me like hysterical. She's like, where is everybody? And I was like, she's like, I guess standing outside at my sister's house. And I was like, I was like, they all went trick-or-treating without us. She's like, I told mom that I was on my way home. And I was just like, I was like, I'm home right now, it's okay. I was like, you can come to my house.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, text me your address, bye. Yes,
fuck.
And then I was like, okay. And then she like came to my house or whatever, and she was just like, I was not expecting to stand outside. She was like in like a tiny little mini skirt. Oh, like, it's like literally like freezing, almost like snowing outside. And I was like, I'm sorry. And then like she was like, I feel kind of ill or whatever. I was like supposed to go to my boss's Halloween party, like I was like about to go, and then that all happened. So I was like, whatever, I guess I'm staying home.
Oh no.
And I asked her how her thing in Denver went. She's like, fine. I guess she dressed up as Britney Spears. She was like, fine, but I got shoved by another Britney Spears, and then everybody was calling me homophobic because I got mad about it. And then I was just like, oh my God. I was like, you're just always finding drama, aren't you?
Oh, fuck.
But yeah, I love her, but she's just like, I feel like just, and then she went during this whole, that whole fight, she was like, you guys all think I'm so dramatic. She's like, I'm usually not like this. I'm only like this like when I'm around you guys. And I was like,
okay, I'm sure you are, miss. I fight with other Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Come on.
But yeah, it was just like fun, like seeing family. And then like Emma and I had a fun time together because she stayed with me the whole time. And then
cool.
Like, yeah, it was like nice seeing family. Just like after that, like normal, like everything like kind of settled down. But
yeah.
The first few days, it's like,
I don't know what shenanigans you guys got into. All I know is Mary showed me the Snapchat of you with a fishnet on your face.
That was Emma.
Head. Oh, that was Emma?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought that was you, girl. Shit.
No.
Okay, so it was your crazy freaking sister.
Yeah. She put it on her head, and then, like, it was funny because it got stuck on her fucking septum ring. And she was like, ow, ow, help me. But then I was just, like, recording her because I thought it was so fucking hilarious. We finally got it off, but yeah, it was funny. I did put it on my head, too, but I didn't post that. I just posted Emma.
You're like, I wouldn't post mine. I posted that bitches.
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny her staying with me, and then, like, yeah, just... Yeah. I went into, like, the room one day. She, like, I have that weird chair. It's, like, this weird, like, Victorian chair in that room.
Mm-hmm.
She was just, like, wrapped up in a blanket, like, just, like, sitting in it. And she was just, like, staring. And I was like, are you okay? Like, oh, and my lightsaber kept going off. Cause,
what? Sorry, that, okay. If people didn't have an idea what kind of a nerd you are, they do now. My lightsaber kept going off.
The ones from Galaxy's Edge, like, they tell you, like, when you get them, like, oh, it'll drain your battery, so turn it off and blah, blah, blah. But, like, it's just too much work to do that. So, like, every once in a while, like, if I go into that room and I walk past it, it'll be like, whoo, like, it'll, like, make that weird, like, you know, noise.
Yeah.
Or, like, just, like, weird things. Like, it's, like, calling to me.
Yeah.
And Emma was, like, staying in that room. And she was like, Laura. And I was like, yeah. She's like, do you have like some kind of like machine in here? Or she's like, did you hear that? I was like, hear what? Because I had like no idea what she was talking. Yeah.
You've white noised it out. You've heard it so often. It's just normal for you now.
I was like, what? I was like, machine? And then we're like laughing. She's like, never mind. I was like, are you okay? Like, she's like,
I think you need to see the doctor.
Yeah. She's like, I thought I heard something. She was like, it was just kind of a weird noise. And I was like, oh. And then like, I was like sitting there. And then like, I look and I was like, oh, I was like, you're hearing my lightsaber. And I'm like, yeah, it was like funny, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just dumb shit like that. And then.
That reminds me of like, Furbies. Like, my sister had a Furby. Were you ever even aware of the Furby craze?
Yeah.
Okay, so like, my sister had a Furby. Very exciting. Played with it for a week. And then it ended up shoved into the closet. But it was still like alive in there. So like, sometimes it would just be like quiet and dark. And then this little baby voice would start like singing from the fucking closet. It was awful.
We hated
that fucking thing. And it was just like in there, just like blinking and like singing. It was bizarre.
Like, remember me.
Right. It was like,
it's scary.
It kind of is scary. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that was my Furby story.
And then, yeah, nothing else really happened. Oh, I wanted to tell you the story about your. Just because, like, I don't know, she always has to. I feel like sometimes she's just like very like passive aggressive. Like even like the other day when I was talking about, I made like another appointment to finish like the rest of my arm on March 29th, and I was just like standing there like staring at me like making this like disgusted face, like, because I think she just like
she's just an old bitch. Like, I don't know how else to describe her.
She just can't hide her emotions. But then like I had to make like a basketball cake or something like that, and. They wanted it like in buttercream, so I just got like orange buttercream, and I was like piping it on there like a little star tip. She's like staring at my cake. She like just keeps like staring at it, and I was like,
hello.
And I like look up at her, and she's like, I've never seen a basketball that color before.
Like, what is that?
Like, you've never seen an orange basketball?
Yeah.
And she's like, it's just she's just like being like really weird, and I was like, I was like, I'm gonna airbrush it, and then she was like, oh, okay,
what,
or whatever.
The fuck?
She's like calming.
Was it like too dark or too light, or
it was like a really like bright orange, but I was trying to, I was gonna try and like airbrush it, you know, kind of like make it look like it was like kind of like some shading on it, but then that didn't turn out, so I was like, okay. So I just made like a darker orange afterwards, but then like it just was, like, really annoying. She, like, I feel like always has to, like, comment on, like, my cake, or she'll, like, comment on, like, someone else's cakes.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, oh, like.
You should tell the story about you bringing in your perfect little cold brew coffee with, like, the whipped cream on it. Because that's so funny, because it sounds like just what little I knew, like, working with her.
Yeah.
It totally fits, like, the actions that she took that day.
Yeah. Well, like, okay, so. I think I talked about it on here about how I was making my nitro coffee and all of that, and like how like long it takes and this and that, blah, blah, blah. So I had made this fucking coffee, and then I woke up in the morning. I had this little jar that I wanted to put it in, you know, all cute with my little ice cubes and all of that. And then I added like my special little fucking like almond milk and whipped cream to the top of it, and I was just like so happy, and I like take it to work or whatever, and of course like I get in and like I set it like on my table, and like our tables are like face to face or whatever, and I can just like see, like I saw her looked directly at my coffee, and she's like moving stuff, and she moves her buttercream bucket like right into that fucking spot, and just like shoves it into my fucking coffee, like off of her table into my coffee, and it spills all over the fucking table. And then she's just like, oh sorry Laura, like I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to spill that, da, da, da. Like, I can make you more coffee, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, it was, like, fine. It was a cold brew, like, I made it at home. Like, it's not the same as whatever coffee you're going to make me. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then
it's like, bullshit, you're sorry.
And even, like, 5 seconds later, she was just, like, again, like, I can make you coffee, are you sure? Da, da, da. I was like,
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, it was.
So because, and like, just for context, when the brief time she and I worked together, she was so excited to bring this special coffee in. Was it Louisiana or Texas? I don't remember.
I think it was like Texas.
This Texas brand coffee. Everybody loved it. She loved it. Oh, it's the best coffee. You'll see. You'll see. And like, she made some and it was fine. It was coffee. It was like nothing to write home about. And like, that's why I think she like thinks it's the best fucking coffee. And to her, like, I'll give her real coffee. You know, she doesn't need her fancy little ice cube whipped cream coffee.
Feel. I'm like, she's fucking psycho. I feel like she just, and she, like, also just, like, spends just, like, I feel like time doing nothing all fucking day and just be like,
oh. Yeah. Well, you said she takes, like, 4 smoke breaks a day and, like, she'll just bounce out for appointments, like, having not cleared it with anybody.
Yeah.
Toodaloos, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because even, like, my friend Michelle, hopefully they never listen to any of this.
I'll probably cut out the names. Honest to God, I'm going to cut the fucking names out.
She was, like, talking to me because we went on this, like, little ride together to deliver a cake. She was like, oh, Rachel, I have 2 cakes. She was, like, looking at me, and I was like, do you want me to go with you? She's like, yes. So we, like, rode together whatever to deliver these cakes. But on the way there, she's like, I feel like we need just, like, another good decorator. She's like, because Julena, she's nice, but... I was like, yeah, she doesn't really do cakes. She's like, yeah. She's like, she's always just kind of doing other things. And I'm just like, can you just finish the cake orders? And I'm like, literally, because even the other day, we're like, it's like, because next week is super busy.
Yeah.
It's like, what can I do? And we're like, well, we're making case cakes right now. She's like, oh, no. We're like, okay. She's like, I'll do something else. What else can I do? And I'm just like.
You owned a cake store for 20 fucking years. What do you mean? You're going to the girls that are in their 20s to say, what do I need to do right now? You're in your, what, she's got to be at least 50?
Yeah.
In her
50s, I think almost 60.
It's either a rough 50 or she's older.
I feel I feel bad, like, just, like, straight up talking shit about this person here, but.
No, because she also when you work with somebody who doesn't perform the tasks that they're meant to do, it makes it very difficult.
She was supposed to make this cinnamon fucking raisin bread, and then she, like, left before making it, and it was due at, like, 7:30 in the morning. So she gets there, she's like, are these people, she's like freaking out, she's like, people are trying to sabotage me or something like that. She's like, why did nobody tell me this was at 7:30? And, like, just like, you're the one that offered to make it. And so then she's like, she's just, you know, freaking out the whole time. She's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, are you sure it hasn't been made already? Because Alyssa was talking about, like, cinnamon dough yesterday or something.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I don't know. She's, like, looking in the fridge, and she sees Rachel made, like, cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
So she gets Rachel's cinnamon rolls and turns them into loaves of cinnamon bread.
What?
Which, like, I think the cinnamon rolls are usually, like, $5 or $6 a piece. And we're, like, selling these loaves for, like, $6 each. So she's using, like, 6 cinnamon rolls, like, a loaf. Like, uses, like, all these fucking cinnamon rolls to make a bread.
Wait, but is the cinnamon roll bread, like, a batter? Like, you mix it and you pour it into the pan type of?
No.
Oh, no? So how do you make this?
The cinnamon rolls? You've made
No.
Oh, the cinnamon bread?
Like, the bread,
it's like a normal, like, bread.
Like a batter. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Where you, like... I think you make the dough
and you
whatever need it and then put it into, like, the pan or whatever and let it bake. But, like, even when I worked for that bread guy, like, it really doesn't take long to, like, I feel like mix up the bread and just, like, let it bake. Like, it'd usually be done. Like, because this was, like, 7:30. The lady needed them by, like, 11. So I was like, oh, that's, like, plenty of time. That's, like, 4 hours for you to, like, get this done kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But apparently because she wanted to use this fucking cinnamon roll dough and then, like, fucking put it in the oven and it had been in the fridge, like, cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's... not proofed. It's like
And it took, like, literally forever. Like, they weren't ready in time. And then that lady still there, like, oh, well, you can just have the loaves for free. And, like, the lady came and got them, and I just kept thinking, like, because she, like, has, like, a reoccurring order too.
Yeah,
like, she just started, this was her first time getting the breads, she's getting more next week. She's, like, a Italian teacher, and she wanted to get her, like, class something. I don't know why she wanted cinnamon bread without raisins. I really don't know why.
Dude, those people are out there anyway.
But yeah, so I just kept thinking, I was like, she probably got that bread and was just, like, so confused as to, like, what it was. But yeah, and then, like, my boss was complaining. She's like, I wasted all that cinnamon dough on my on those fucking breads. And, like,
just, should know better, dude, because cost is that's a big fucking deal. Yeah. Like, and there's not, in the restaurant industry, if your restaurant is doing well, and that's, like, any food business, like, top of its game, you're, like, at a 5% profit or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's not if much. Things are running smoothly. So for a little cake shop, you know, they're probably closer to, like, 3%, maybe 2% profit. Yeah, so the fact that did that, having, or again, this mystery person, because we're not saying names, this mystery person The fact that she owned a shop for 20 years and didn't think about that and just did it, it makes me wonder how, really, honestly, like how hands-on she was in her
business.
That's
what I think, too. I just don't believe anything she said. But yeah, I'll shut up about that. Yeah,
that's okay. Okay, I've got a story for us to jump to that has nothing to do with cake decorating, anything. Remember my lame story about how I left a marijuana cigarette on our neighbor's garage?
Yes,
so I was back on our yard. I've been meaning to clean it for like 5 years, literally. So I finally went back there and was cleaning it, trimming a ton of stuff. There's like all kinds of brush back there. Because John, when he trims, he just like will trim and then not like pick the branches up at all. So, and a lot of times he would just like throw them back there. So we've been clearing out our brush pile in the backyard. We've made, I'm not joking, at least 8 trips. So like one every weekend, just once, maybe twice, we'll take my little red truck and we'll fill it up as much as we can for $5. We go down to Rocky Mountain Resources and we drop it off. Yeah. It's like $5. It's fucking worth it. But so I ended up just adding a ton more brush back to like our already, like our pile was getting so low, and then I just kept like adding more shit on top of it. I was like, ah, fuck. But anyway, it was cleared and our neighbor comes out, and this is how, remember I've told you how detached we are from our neighbors.
Yeah.
We don't interact. We barely look at them. Sometimes I wonder if they think we're dead in here.
Yeah.
But like she comes out and we knew she had been pregnant. And she comes out holding a baby. And I'm like, oh my God, like your baby. You had your baby. How old is she? And she's like, she's 4 months. I was like, oh shit.
Whoa.
We have not been paying attention at all to what's been going on. And then, you know, we struck up conversation. I let her know I kind of accidentally cut a branch that was growing through the fence, but it was the only thing holding up this one fence board, so it kind of like fell.
Oh,
so I was like, oh, by the way, like that happened. And but I was like, I can run back there and put a little nail in it. And she was like, no, don't worry about it, we'll do it. And then I got brave enough to ask if they had by chance seen anything on their garage door.
Yeah.
And she goes, that was you? No. And I was like, it was me. And she was like, we thought it was his boss because, you know, he was so upset about the snake dying.
Yeah.
Like, his boss came over. His boss's wife came over to, like, talk with him and see how he was doing. They were very concerned. And, but yeah, like, they just thought he had left it on their garage. And they were like, you did it. And he was like, no, I didn't. Then they're like, he did it. Like, they just thought he was being nice or saving face or something. And I was like, yeah, everybody asked me, like, well, did you say who it was from? And I was like, no. So she was just, like, laughing. She was like, no, that was really cool. So she got to enjoy it, too.
Oh.
Remember, I was like, oh, but she's pregnant,
yeah.
So she won't enjoy it. No, that baby was 3 months old when that happened.
That's funny.
So, wow.
Oh, well, at least you figured out what happened. We have a conclusion.
We have a conclusion because I was like, girl, I really thought.
I thought you were going to say you found it like in the brush or something while cleaning. Or...
No, that would have been great because then I'd been like, oh, cool, I found it. I'll just move this real quick.
That's funny.
So that was that. But I didn't ask. Oh, yeah, you were supposed to go. I was going to ask how your Halloween went. But that was the night your sister came over, right?
Yeah.
I was like,
so I did,
I'm
like,
dying.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. What a
we
bummer.
Actually, we did have a little bonding. I made soup. She didn't eat any of it, really. But
okay.
We, like, laid in bed together and we're talking a bit and stuff.
Cool.
So it was nice.
That's good. Yep. We've all got that, like, extra family member.
Yeah.
I've got a couple. Shit, girl. I swear to God, there was something else I wanted to say. Oh, totally random. But, like, I was listening to my Kevin and Bean. And they were talking about Thanksgiving disasters.
Yeah.
But one of the hosts, Bean, he says his favorite story to tell is when years ago, like maybe 15 years ago, something like that, longer, his brother, they've had dinner, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, they've chatted, they've hung out, and then the brother goes, well, it's probably time to go. If my girlfriend's waiting out in the car, we're gonna go see her family.
What?
Sorry, what's that now? They were like, she's in the car? And he was like, my parents, by the way, live in Maryland. So this is November in Maryland, and this girl is waiting in a fucking car. He's like, it was cold that night. So he's like, we none of us know. And like, when asked, I guess the brother, he just hated small talk and didn't want people asking his girlfriend stuff or his girlfriend asking parents stuff. And
what?
Yes. Yep. And you'll be happy to know that he did ask that girl to marry him. And she said no.
Oh. That's funny.
Yeah. So.
Like, you remember that Thanksgiving? You made me wait in the car.
Right in the fucking car.
I would not fucking wait.
No. For me, it would be like, if you're popping in and saying happy Thanksgiving, but then we're on our way.
Okay.
10, 20 minutes tops if you've got a real chatty family. Yeah. And that would still piss me off. Yeah. But all right, fine. To sit down, to have appetizers and a drink and dinner and dessert and chat some more and then go, like, I guess it's time. Excuse me?
That's hilarious.
Because that was everybody's point, was like, but she was still there when he came out to the car. And the other point is like, why did they not just like agree for him to go back and get her? Yeah, like after, like, you don't want
so
me to
confusing or right? Just she goes and they meet up. Like, that's
what
really funny.
Fuck yeah! So I thought that was like just fucking hilarious.
Oh, I started to watch that episode of Cooking with Paris with Demi Lovato.
I haven't. I was gonna watch it and then. I didn't
finish it. I was forcing my sister to watch it with me, but
did she not find the joy in watching Paris?
I think she liked it. She was like, what the hell? She was like making like cannoli filling and you put like powdered sugar in it or whatever. And then like she tasted it and she's like, oh. She's like, that is. She said some weird thing I've never heard anyone say. I thought it was really weird. I was like, does that mean it's like bad or something? I don't remember what she said. You'll have to watch it
like
here.
Slagrose or something. I don't know.
Yeah, she's like, I'll just add more sugar to it. So then she just gets like her sugar, just like pours it. It's in a piping bag. She pours it into the piping bag on top. She's like, okay, that's better. Just like wraps it up. She's like, it has to go in the fridge. And she just like walks to the fridge,
what
like puts it in there.
Fuck?
I was like, she's fucking nuts. Like, what the hell is she doing? But
And then I heard my friend say, Paris Hilton has a podcast, dude.
Oh, really?
What the fuck could she possibly have to say that is worth hearing? I don't know, but I need to fucking hear this.
That's
like,
funny.
I hope it's real. I hope she wasn't confused with something else. I haven't looked it up to verify, but I hope she has
a fucking
podcast.
It was funny because when I was putting on the Cooking with Paris thing, I'm putting it on. My sister's like, wait, Paris Hilton?
And you're like,
I was like,
baby.
She's like, oh God.
You're like, no, this is going to be worth it.
Yeah, that's what I told her. She was like, I like her outfit, like the one she's like going to cook in or whatever.
Jesus Christ. Those are so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're just the blingiest. I don't know. I guess I'm used to, I'm jeans and a t-shirt. 24 hours out of the day, basically.
Yeah.
When I'm not in pajama pants, I guess. So
I like to get dressed up, but she's like,
she's,
you know,
talk about extra. That is some fucking extra.
Her weird little gloves.
Like, yeah. Everything is always just so over the top, but like, I kind of, there's a weird obsession that I can't quite explain. And I feel really a little broken up about it. Like, I feel really unsure of myself, who I am as a person. Like, I would never give a shit about what Paris Hilton was doing day to day.
Yeah.
But actually seeing it, it's like, wow. I feel like I'm studying a specimen.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are they going to do next? Like, I want to take notes and stuff.
It's funny. Yeah.
Fuck. And, like, well, you've, like, watched the Kardashians. And if the Kardashians are kind of along that same line of, like, what the fuck is
they're
their
fucking
life?
Nuts. Just like that. Oh my God. I don't think I've talked about it on here, but there's this fucking episode where, like, because they like all are against guns, but then Bruce has this gun and they like want to get rid
of
the
gun. I feel like I remember you saying that.
And they like, it's just like the whole episode was so fucking hilarious. They like dig a hole in the yard, cover the gun with cement, bury it. And then he's like, where's my gun? And then Chris is like, oh, like, honey, like, I'm borrowing it because I want to learn to shoot or something. I'm probably telling the story wrong. So then, like, I don't
it
know. She tries to pretend to be interested in the gun.
Yeah.
So then him being like, oh, how sweet, goes and buys her a gun.
Yes.
And then she's like, like, it's just like this whole situation with these guns. It was just like, I was like, these people are fucking nuts. Like, right? What the hell are they doing? But yeah, it's
funny. And like, you know how some reality shows are kind of sort of scripted? Like, just a little bit. Just to make people go in a direction. I feel like they're rich and crazy enough. I wonder if anything's being scripted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not. I'm sure some of it is, but...
But, like, the shit with the gun, that's like, I hope that's fucking real. I really hope that, like, he ran out, and I know it's Caitlyn Jenner now, but, like, you know, that he ran out at the time, you know, and really got her a gun. I was like, here you go, honey, for you.
There's that episode, too, where the brother, like, goes in, like, to one of those classes where it's, like, a tree stump, and he, like, chainsaws the bear, and then... He brings home this bear. Okay, this bear is, like, this fucking tall, okay? And it's, like, he made it himself, and he's, like, happy with it.
Just to describe, like, what, 3.5, 4 feet?
Yeah.
4 foot tall bear? Yeah.
So he gives him this bear. Well, then, like, it's at someone's house or something like that. They don't like the bear, so they throw it away. They're like, we're moving this fucking bear.
Yeah.
But then he, like, one of the other sisters is like, oh, that was his bear. Like, he's going to be really upset about it. So then they're, like, freaking out about the bear because they don't know what the fucking is. So she's like, I'll just try and buy one online. So the bear comes and it's, like, this fucking big. It's, like, a wooden bear.
Yeah.
And they replace it. And then, like,
So the foot-tall bear did not fool them.
I think they tell him something like, oh, like, we tried to just, like, fix it up a little. And, like, he's just like, like, it's so weird, though.
It shrank. It's cold outside, so it contracted.
They're just really weird. Just all the episodes are just like, what is happening? Like,
yeah.
Or, like, when Kylie is, like, they're in, like, a fucking huge mansion, and she's like, this house is too crowded for me. So then she's just like, out there sitting in, like, her Range Rover or whatever. Just, like, her mom comes out, and she's like, Kylie, what's wrong? She's like, there's no room for me in this house. She's, like, throwing a fit just literally so that her mom will buy her house. And then she, like, buys, like, this Kendall and her a beach house because...
Fucking... I can't...
The mansion was too crowded.
I don't... I can't relate to, like, how do you, I can't even wrap my head around that kind of decision being made.
Yeah.
Buying somebody a house just because they're uncomfortable. We can't buy ourselves a house and we're so uncomfortable. No, it's annoying. Not that bad.
And they were like teenagers. Yeah. This is when they were like 17 and like 18 or something.
Too much, dude. We were watching, sorry, just bring it up because it was funny, a funny scene. We were watching Raising Arizona last night because we're trying to get Mary to, like, see different things. So Raising Arizona is Coen Brothers. So, like, it's Coen Brothers. It's, like,
I think I actually saw it a long time ago when I was, like, younger, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Shit, what else? Anyway. But there's a scene where they're, like, they're in this little, basically, trailer. And John, and it's John Goodman, who, you know, is, like, a huge fucking dude. And Nick Cage is not necessarily tiny either. So, like, these two grown men are having this fist fight in this little fucking trailer. And every time they throw a punch, their, like, elbow goes into a wall for them to throw the punch.
Yeah.
He's, like, tearing the fucking ceiling fan down. Like, everything's just totally fucking wrecked. Because it's this tiny little, like... 7 foot by 7 foot square space, and these two big fucking men are just like,
it's fun,
it's just nothing, it's just like shards of paper and fabric by the time they're done with it.
Love that.
You need to see that movie, dude. It's
all right. I'll watch it.
Always scream at you to watch things. I try to watch most of them. We just finished What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, so funny.
So fucking funny. Just one of the best shows, I think.
I know. I need to actually rewatch. I haven't watched it in so long.
It's
fucking hilarious. Bat.
Yeah. So good. All right. Fuck. Anyway. Okay. Well, we should probably get to getting... Did you want to go first? Since.
Yeah, since I missed last week, I figured.
Mine is long and boring. Is yours more interesting?
I don't know. It might be, like, kind of interesting. No, I don't know.
Nope. All right. Well, then fuck it. You go first.
Okay. 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 So today, I'm going to talk about the murders of... Hopefully, I say all these names wrong because I literally didn't look them
wrong.
Up.
Oh. Hopefully, I say all these names wrong.
Hopefully, I don't I hope say you them do wrong. Too. Hopefully, I say them right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, the murders of Louisa Ann Swanson and Swin Paul Swanson, both 10 and 14 years old.
Oh.
When I was originally looking this up too, I was like, sweat? And I was like, am I in Montana? But yeah.
Yeah.
They were killed by their mother, Jeanette, or it's spelled like Jeanette. So I think it's Jeanette Swanson, on August 26th of 2002. So as part of her pre-sentencing investigation, she went under a different number of psychological exams, and all of the doctors who examined her agreed that she was suffering from a severe mental disorder, which actually, I guess, ran in her family. They didn't, like, really go into that too much, but I guess, like, it's just kind of, like, psychosis in the family kind of a thing.
Yikes.
So she suffered from agnosia. I don't know if that's correct, but I guess that's, like, the loss of the ability to recognize objects, faces, voices, or places. And it's apparently, like, very rare. So she suffered from that. Yikes. She was also suffering from depression and psychosis. And apparently, like, the years before this, like, her mental health was just, like, declining, like, slowly. She was, like, getting really paranoid. And, like, in the days before she killed her children, her hallucinations and delusions were, like, really intensified.
I feel like it should be. I'm sure you'll get into it. But, like, there was no one to take these kids from a bad situation.
Yeah,
or...
well... So, like, yeah, so I guess she had two older kids, too, and her husband, and, like, her mom had, like, been getting worried about her, and she'd actually, I guess, been to, like, multiple doctors and had, like, been trying to get help, but, like, kind of just, like, getting sent away thing, like,
yeah,
one of those things where it's just, like, the system didn't really work out for her kind of a thing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, I guess, so, like, kind of going into it, like, as I was, like, researching, I read that she had been feeling, like, really tired and depressed, so her mom, like, was, like, worried, I guess, like, because she had gone to the doctors, as I said, and told her family that she was okay, but her mom was, like, not satisfied, because she was, like, no, like, you don't seem okay, I'm taking you to this doctor, so yeah. They go to Benefits Healthcare a week before the murder seeking help, and her mother said that she was prescribed sleeping pills and the drug Paxil, which is an antidepressant. And apparently she took it, like, it takes, like, a few weeks to, I guess, like, get in your system, start working, and become effective. And I guess her mom had said, like, she thought she should have been hospitalized and, like, just held until she was, like, better because of just how bad she was doing. Yeah, they just give her these fucking pills and send her home, and they're like, she'll be fine.
Yikes.
So I started getting curious too, like, while I was, like, researching this about, like, antidepressants and, like, murders and stuff like that. So I, like, just, like, Googled it and looked it up. So I guess, like, Prozac and Paxil are two of the most popular SSRIs, which are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So although they're considered safe for, like, most people, there's been, like, lots of reports linking them to psychosis, violence, and even murder.
Whoa.
And I guess there was even a case in Wyoming that settled for, like, $6.4 million where they found GlaxoSmithKline, which is a British pharmaceutical company, but I guess they're who makes, like, Paxil or whatever. They found them responsible for a family, like, murder-suicide. So the patient, Donald Schill, he was, like, 60 years old. I guess he was, like, suffering from, like, anxiety and depression, started taking Paxil. And then he killed his wife, daughter, and granddaughter, and then himself. And I guess, like, in the trial, they found him, like, 80%, like, guilty, or the drug 80%, like, responsible for, like, him, like, having these thoughts and, like, going, like, this big, like, decline.
Yeah.
I guess, like, some experts say that, like, oh, there's really, like, no way you can, like, link this and that to it. But other people say, like, just happens so often that there's, like, no way that it's, like, not connected kind of a thing. Yeah. So, also, which I thought was interesting, so there's a documentary called A Prescription for Murder, which actually is, like, focused all on James Holmes, the guy who shot up the theater in Aurora.
Oh, yeah.
Killed, like, 12 people, injured, like, 70.
Yeah.
I guess he had been, like, taking medication for his anxiety and, like, whatever the fuck he had going on. And his, like, psychiatric advisor to, like, his defense team said that he believed, like, if he hadn't have been taking... well, I don't even know how to pronounce it, sertraline, sertraline or something like that, that he wouldn't have ever, like, murdered anyone, that he thinks that, like, it really, like, starts to, like, sometimes, like, make those, like, murderous thoughts, like... more intensified instead of
hard helper. To prove though, man. Yeah. But it's I think it's research like yeah. worth going into, because they're right, we really need to do a lot more studies on this
yeah.
stuff.
So yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting, like just like reading about it, because I was like,
is that gonna be your Wyoming story?
My Wyoming story. Oh, yeah. The fucking yeah. that guy? Guy. Maybe. That's interesting. I forgot we're doing that next.
I'll cut it all out. Like, you'll find out about it next week.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, there's something I was going to say.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. You just had like reminded me of something and then I forgot. Oh, well. Okay. So, anyways, on to the story. So, yeah, I'm not saying that like, oh,
this it was the for blame, sure the drug.
Like her, but I just thought it was weird that she had like just started taking that, and then just like a week yeah. after, like all these thoughts start to intensify, because yeah. they said it's like got really intense for her.
Yeah,
and then she ends up like killing her youngest children. So she gets sent home, prescribed these drugs, and her delusions start to intensify. She was like convinced that someone in Augusta had wanted to harm her two youngest children, and she had been like obsessed about this for a while. So she had been homeschooling her kids actually, but then she was just like so tired and exhausted, like she really couldn't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think that's like kind of like their ultimate demise, because she ended up like sending them to like public school.
Yeah.
And she thought they were being like exposed to this like unforeseen evil kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, and even like when they question her and stuff, she's like, I know that other people would think that, you know, murdering my children was a crime, but like she believes she was protecting them. Like,
oh my yeah. god.
So also, which was kind of crazy, while I was researching this, I found like this other page where it was like the estates of her two kids, and I guess it was like some kind of court thing where they had to go to court for it, because they had this like big debate, I guess, whether or not, like, because I guess there's like certain rules where like, oh, if you like kill someone to like inherit the money, like obviously yeah. you're not gonna get it.
Yeah.
But because they believed that, or she believed that she was like protecting her kids, they're like, well, did she really have like malicious intent and like
yeah.
doing this to get like money, kind of a thing. Uh-huh. So yeah, but I guess she like forfeited it. And blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I thought that was just kind of like another weird, like interesting thing with this
yeah.
case. But yeah, so she was teaching her kids at home, sends them to public school, and then that's when she like, I guess, like decided like I have to like do this kind of thing. So on the morning of the 26th of August, she took the Smith & Wesson 38 revolver and shot one bullet into the back of her 14-year-old son Swin's head, and she proceeded to shoot her 10-year-old daughter Louisa 7 times.
Oh,
and she only
God.
Stopped once to reload.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Then she changed out of her pajamas into clothes and called 911. And I guess apparently she had been living with her husband and her two older sons who were sleeping nearby, but they were unharmed.
Wow. Did it say their ages? Or are they like significantly
yeah,
older?
Yeah. So it was her husband, Gene Swanson, and then her two older sons. I don't think they named them because they're yeah. probably, you know. But one was 16 and one was 20. And they all woke up to the sound of like gunshots.
That's so weird that just those two kids, I mean, thank God she didn't kill everybody.
Yeah,
but, like,
but like her younger ones, because one was only like 14, the other yeah. 16. That's not like that yeah. big of an age difference. But yeah, really weird. So, yeah. And I guess she had planned to actually kill herself after she killed the kids, but mm-hmm. her oldest son like intervened and stopped her from like killing herself, kind of yeah. thing, after she called 911. So yeah, when the ambulances and everything arrived, it was like 5:42 a.m. and the children were both dead. And then they like arrested her, I think it was at 6 a.m. or something like that. And this one,
yeah.
like the police and everything showed up to her house. So sorry. Okay, so yeah, I guess like at the time of her sentencing and everything, she still believed that she had made the right choice and hadn't even like started to grieve, kind of a thing. Like that's just like how deep she was in her psychosis.
Yeah.
And like even like the doctors and everything were saying that like she was kind of like, when that happens, you're just like in a haze and it's really hard to break out of. Like it could take like years.
Whoa,
even.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I guess she was committed for life to the Montana State Hospital, but I guess, like, in situations like this, that if doctors believe that you won't ever make a recovery, then they'll just transfer you and send you to, like, a state prison or something like that, which
Whoa.
I found really weird, because You'd think that person needs to be in the hospital.
That's what I would say.
Like, oh, you're never going to make it, so we'll just send you to the fucking prison. Like,
yikes.
Or you can hurt someone else. Yeah, I don't know. That just seemed pretty crazy to me.
That's pretty fucked up. That's a huge fuck you to people who need help. Yeah.
So, so her mother had said that closer to the day of the murders that her daughter had gone from being like warm and social to very passive and quiet and like constantly just tired. So that's why she was like really getting worried about her.
Yeah.
And had said that she thought she needed to be hospitalized, and that's why she had been like taking her to the doctor, but no one was helping her. So
yeah.
So, and I guess like her and her husband had ranched in that area for more than 15 years. They like raised their kids there, and her mother said it was just like all of a sudden she just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess apparently her boys remained in Augusta with their father. That was the tragedy of the Swanson family. But
poor kids. What year did you say that took place in?
2002.
Oh shit. Okay. I was picturing like the 80s. Like, no. Seems so long ago to fuck up that bad. But nope, not that long ago.
It was like 20 years ago. But yeah, still pretty crazy. And then my resources, I went to like Murderpedia, case law, that's where I read about this, like estates, whatever, hard to like understand kind of. And then the New York Post, common antidepressants linked to at least 28 murders. And then I was reading a .gov talking about that Donald Shill murder. That was like pretty interesting too. And SSRIstories.net, because I guess there's like lots of stories where people believe they were like connected to these like serotonin inhibitors or whatever, and so there's like a whole bunch of murders on there where they're like, oh, they were taking Paxil and they were taking this, and so I thought it was kind of interesting, kind of just a weird.
Do you remember those calls we listened to of people with Ambien who were affected?
Oh yeah,
because
they're like get ice cream all over their fucking bedroom and order shit and like
one guy. Okay, this is totally Kevin and Bean, but like Jensen Karp talked about how he had taken Ambien. He had never taken it before, I think. And he said he was at a hotel and he goes, when I came to, I was in the middle of a Target. He goes, I don't remember how I got there. I just remember being in a Target and like, whoa,
wow, that's how the fuck terrifying. Did I get here?
Yeah, but apparently they were like, no, you just asked for a car. You seemed okay. But other weird things like, I've got to cook the dog food, like, or something, you know, where people are just like kind just out of it.
That's so scary, honestly, to like just think about like what you could do, like, while, like, oh my gosh, it's kind of freaky.
Yeah, that's why I don't know. It just reminds me.
I forgot about that. I want to listen to that. I always want to listen to like Kevin and Bean. Like, I'll think about like when you're like talking about all these crazy stories, and I'm like, seems so entertaining.
They're so funny. I've never tried to listen to it through my phone. It's kind of weird the way that, because you can't really find it anymore. There's one place. It's KevinandBeanArchive.com, I think. Okay. And that's a guy who's just been a fan since like, I think they started in the late 80s, Kevin and Bean, maybe early 90s. And he's been recording them since, well, he's got some old stuff, but mostly he's saved stuff since like 2000 on. So from like 2000 to 2019, he has almost everything saved. Yeah. And then he has some really old stuff saved because the company, K-Rock, almost got into really big trouble because Ralph Garman, he did an impression of Jerry Lewis and called, they actually... This is not a joke. They actually were able to, on air, make contact with, like, I don't know if it's a prime minister or president of France, because French people go crazy for Jerry Lewis. They, love Jerry Lewis. So Ralph Garman's doing this impression, and they actually got a hold of somebody very, very important in France, and they were told they were never allowed to air that again. So they haven't. But, like, you can find it on that archive page.
That's funny.
It's so fucking funny. They actually got caught up in some scandal. They were on Unsolved Mysteries because they did this stupid call-in topic where they were like, I don't remember, call if you've gotten in trouble for something. And they had staged somebody calling and saying, I killed my girlfriend. And then all of a sudden police were involved.
Oh my God.
They were just fucking around. They clearly did not think about it. Cause all of a sudden, and it's funny because it was linked to this unsolved case that they thought, oh, we think this is the guy linked to this unsolved case. And then it that case ended up on Unsolved Mysteries, like the original one.
Yeah.
So you can actually hear there's a bit in the original Unsolved Mysteries going talking about Kevin and Bean and how police thought they had a lead. And Kevin and Bean are like, yeah, no, that was a totally real call. And then that guy that does Unsolved Mystery, he's like, Kevin and Bean were lying.
Oh my god,
so fucking funny. Yeah, they fuck themselves up.
Hilarious. Oh my god, they're crazy.
They're pretty fucking nuts.
Fucking
well, like back in the day, like no one really gave a shit about morning radios, and they were like this nothing rock station. K-Rock now is like about as big as a rock station can get, I think, because they are kind of known worldwide, but like back in the 90s, no one gave a shit what they were doing. Not a single fucking person.
That's so funny.
So they were able to just kind of be idiots on air, and they gathered a following, and then they all got fired in 2019. So, all right. Let me start mine, because I know you've got like a dinner, or no, a lunch?
Just a late lunch.
I don't know why I said a dinner. She's not 80. Sorry. It's only like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Dinner? Sorry. Yeah, where are you guys going?
Probably like Panera or something. I don't fucking know. Cause,
easy.
Yeah, Rachel and Zaya want to hang out. And then like, you know, we're the vegans. And then Zaya can't eat soy and peanuts. And
God.
So it's like always hard for us all three to eat together. It's just like nightmare.
You have to like choose somewhere that accommodates each specific allergy. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Okay. Well, I kind of got mine off of... there's a lot of information about what I'm about to talk about. So there were no specific articles, you know. It was more like the History Channel has stuff on Little Bighorn. The Smithsonian has stuff on Little Bighorn as well. So I'm covering Little Bighorn. it's just something I don't know about. I remember my sister, like when we were kids, I remember her for some reason very distinctly remember her reading a book called like Custer and Crazy Horse. So I had always thought there was this link between Custer and Crazy Horse, and there is, but there's like so much more to it than just these two people. On June 25th, 1876, the Lakota Sioux, Cheyenne, and Arapaho fought against the 7th Cavalry Regiment of the U.S. Army led by George Armstrong Custer. The Lakota call it the Battle of Greasy Grass. White people call it Custer's Last Stand. The Great Plains were the last holdout for natives against their invaders and living freely and not on a reservation. So they were really the last group to be able to live just without any kind of interference from white people. And then to help understand the mindset, just really, really quick, I'm going to do a little profile of the two most famous Sioux Indians. So that would be, of course, Crazy Horse. And then the other one will be Sitting Bull. But Crazy Horse was born in around 1840 in the Black Hills of South Dakota. As a boy, he was known as Curly Hair or Light Haired Boy because of his fairer complexion. He was one of the last groups of Native, like I said, to grow up before white people fucked it all up. So soon he was known for being a pretty brave warrior. He took on his father's name, Crazy Horse. And then his dad just... So this is so weird because, you know, you can get different... You sort of like... are signed new names as you get older and like those older native cultures. And his dad was named Crazy Horse, but then he let his son take the name Crazy Horse, which was cool. But then his dad went by Worm. I was like, that's quite the demotion. Crazy Horse is like so cool sounding. And then it's like,
Worm.
You can call me Worm. So anyway, and his dad was also, I think, like a shaman, like a medicine man, which is super cool. So he fought in apparently like a ton of battles. So he was a part of the Powder River Campaign. I don't know what that is. The Red Cloud War of 1866 and 1867. The Sioux War of 1876 and 1877. The Battle of Rosebud in 1876. The Battle of Little Bighorn and the Wolf Mountain Fight. I can only talk about one though. And then the next there was Sitting Bull, and this is the most badass motherfucker that has ever lived. A true American, I would say, would be Sitting Bull. So the first thing you need to know about him is that most white people really hated this dude, which was too bad because he was actually like probably the most level-headed person like out of everybody that was involved in all the shit that was going on at the time. But people hated him mostly because they believed that he was the person that killed George Custer, but he did not. Because I guess he wasn't even involved in the fighting the day that, like, the Battle of Little Bighorn took place.
Hmm.
So he was born around 1832 as a Lakota Sioux, and he remembered his childhood fondly before white people showed up. As a baby, they called him Jumping Badger, which is just so fucking cute. And real quick, sorry, here are some of the names that I saw that I was like, these are such cool fucking names. Red Feather, which just, I don't know, it just sounds strong.
Yeah.
Iron Hawk, which sounds fucking rad.
Yeah.
Kill Eagle.
Whoa.
And then He Dog.
He Dog?
I was like, He Dog? That's such a cool name. That's anyway, funny. Sorry. So yes, he was known as Jumping Badger. And then as a little kid, they started to call him Slow, only because he had like very deliberate movements and he was like had a thoughtful approach. Not like it wasn't it wasn't really meant as an insult.
More like calling someone patient or something.
Right. But... yeah, exactly. I'm like, that motherfucker is slow. No. By 10, he was already known for being an excellent hunter, and he was able to easily kill bison calves, and he would give the calf meat to the poor in his village.
Aww.
Which is very nice. So it was when he went out on his first ride with a warrior party, he attacked Crow Braves, and he did something called counting his first coup.
Counting coup.
Have you heard of that?
I was literally just thinking this. I was like, is she going to talk about this? But yeah, I have.
No way? Okay, so for those that, well, for those who are not, I don't know, as informative as Laura, is like when you go up and you touch the enemy without like them feather. Knowing it. Oh, really? With a feather?
I've just heard like weird things. Like,
okay, maybe it is with a feather. Maybe it's one of those touch them any way you can and like it counts. But yeah, you can't kill them, right? You can't kill them and be like, they didn't know I touched them. But yeah, you just had to touch them, and it was known as this like really brave thing to do.
Yeah, because I know because Garrett and I had watched like a movie or something where they talked about counting coup. We didn't know what it was, so then we looked it up, and I guess there was one guy who like, yeah, I think like there's like three like steps to progressively make like your enemy go crazy, where like first you touch them without them knowing, then he like left like a feather in his fucking root tent or something, and then like the final act is like him killing or something. It was fucking weird though.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
like the original Ghost in the Woods type thing, you know. But yeah, so he did that. Like that was just a thing he was started to be known for. I guess he just loved to do it all the time whenever he could. But it was after that that he was known as Tatanka Iotaka, which means Sitting Bull.
Hmm.
So eventually his bravery earned him chief. He was married a couple times. You know, sometimes wives die or go or, you know, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Same thing with kids. Sometimes you have some of them die. So he like, you know, went through like the normal steps, I guess, at the time. So even in the midst of personal tragedies, though, he did excel as a chief, and he was known for his fairness, his humor, and his humility. He was a fucking romantic motherfucker as well, because it says he would serenade women with his flute, and that's not code. He really played a flute like he would play. Yeah, he's just out there like fucking hustling, man.
Yeah.
He's a little romantic. It was kind of cute. In 1851, the chiefs were called to sign a peace treaty between the U.S. and the Indians. The treaty also stated that tribes were no longer allowed to war with each other. And remember, this is 1851, so the U.S. could have taken a little bit of its own advice, I think. You know, because the Civil War happens in like 10 years. So with the treaty, it declared that the U.S. could build military roads and camps within the reservation area. And in the exchange, the U.S. government would pay $50,000 a year for 50 years. So Sitting Bull felt like it was a ripoff, and he was totally right, because not long after the government, they decided that instead of 50 years of making those payments, they decided that 15 years was equally as good. Originally, no one really cared that the Lakota were up in the Black Hills, because most of that was theirs. That is until on a scouting mission to decide where to put some of their military camps, gold was discovered. What? So soon settlers began moving in, and that broke the treaty rules. And yeah, because the Lakota Sioux, they were, to them, that was their sacred ground. They didn't want to give it up. And then white people just came and just like started dumping all their shit on it. So that, of course, pissed them off. Yeah. So yeah, with the discovery of gold came the revision of the treaty, which cut their land back substantially. So prior to 1868, the land was covered. Okay, so it was like, of course, just like the Sand Creek Massacre, yeah, where it was like thinking, all this land. Because it took over, it was almost everything in South Dakota. It was a third of Nebraska, about a fifth of Wyoming, half of North Dakota, and there was a little chunk of Iowa. And then after the 1868 treaty, it was literally like just under half of South Dakota was what they could have. And of course, today they have like even less than that.
Yeah.
So in any case, in 1868, they went to Fort Laramie, Wyoming to sign another treaty. Of course, that revised land that they were going to get. And both Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse refused to sign. Both stated they had no land to give and simply wanted white people to not be there. So yeah, they didn't want to be confined to the reservation, and they just wanted to continue to hunt and live outside the barriers because that's what they'd always done. They, you know, they migrate with the animals. So the white men that dreamed up that half-baked plan were genuinely shocked that the Native nations did not accept their bullshit offer. So in 1876, the Commissioner of Indian Affairs gave all Indians an ultimatum that they had to be on a reservation by January 31st, 1876, or they would face military action. And because so few natives gave so little of a shit about what he said, they were now deemed hostile. So they just didn't react. They just kept doing what they were doing. They just like ignored him. They were like, yeah, okay. And then like just kept living their life.
Yeah.
But you know, the fucking US military is like, I don't think so. So three large military parties were unleashed to go find the evil, peaceful heathens. So there was one 450-man group that left near Bozeman, 1,000 men left Fort Laramie, and then 880 men left near Bismarck. So the point of all these parties, they hoped, was that there were enough men in those individual sort of, I don't think they were one solid regiment, but like all these individual companies, I guess, could handle the amount of Indians that they would meet, like, so that they didn't have to rely on each other. Find, you know what I mean? Is that coming across?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I smoked weed before.
No,
so
it makes sense.
Thank God. So it was everybody's job to find the Indians and bring them back to the reservation. That was the goal. But again, they're also deemed hostile. So, you know, they're going to fuck with the Indians. The army had their own Indian scouts as well, and they led the group of men. So the group of men that Custer was in charge of, they're the ones that figured out that they were going towards Little Bighorn, but they didn't have like really any idea of how large the group of people was that they were about to meet up with, because it was a lot. So George Armstrong Custer, at 23, he was the Union's youngest general, and he was a well-known Civil War hero at the time, but now he was 36. He had kind of been demoted a couple ranks, and people feel like he was probably feeling like really washed out at 36. And I can relate. And he, you know, he felt like he could get a little bit of that battlefield glory back, you know, that he had had back in the day. And on their way, they came across a small encampment of Cheyenne and Lakota, and they immediately took them hostage. Luckily, pretty much everybody was able to escape, I guess. They didn't do a great job, like, holding them captive.
Yeah.
So a lot of people ended up with Sitting Bull, so he provided them shelter and provisions. And, but when they showed up, that's when they knew that, like, soldiers were on their way to, like, try to get them. So after learning the army was on its way, Sitting Bull performed a sun dance for 2 days and nights. Oh. So throughout the dance, he would give many sacrifices of flesh from his arm.
Whoa.
Which is the most metal shit I've ever fucking heard of.
My
He says he gave over 100 little slivers of flesh.
Oh, my God.
Right? And he was like, sorry, so in the documentary I watched, because it's like a narrator sort of like just telling Red Bull's story as if like from first person perspective. But he was like, it was painful. That was like, no shit, dude. Like your arm is gone.
Yeah.
Now it said after one day and night of dancing, he did lose consciousness.
Oh my God.
And he had a vision though of their victory. So everyone was like, all right, cool, we're back on track. So on June 25th, Custer found the camp, and he felt like he had to act quickly, so he feared that if he waited for reinforcements to show up, that the natives would scamper off in 100 different directions and he'd be left standing there with his dick in his hand. So it's estimated there were around between 6,000 and 7,000 men, women, and children camped out, and 2,000 of those of which were warriors, like trained. Yeah. They were ready to go fucking warriors. And Custer hadn't been given super clear instructions on what to do, so he improvised. And apparently this is what John says, because, you know, he was in the army. He said that they still talk about training on tactics of war on what not to do, because apparently Custer made so many stupid fucking mistakes that they train this still in the army today.
Wow.
Of how stupid this was. So in a moment of very bad decision-making, Custer split his forces into four groups. So one group stayed behind to watch the supplies. One group moved up into the bluffs. One group was going to attack from the south. And then Custer, I think, was going to attack from the north. Something like that. So he kind of thought, like, okay, if we attack at both ends, we'll trap them in because there are these big bluffs in between them. So, like, they'll have nowhere to go. Yeah. So he thinks he's, like, got it in the fucking bag. But it's still thousands of people. So, yeah. And he only has, like, I think they said at the time he had 750 men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right? It's like, there's 2,000 warriors in there. Pretty. And I think one of the soldiers talked about how they said when they looked out, it was the most tents, like teepees, they'd ever seen in one spot. So, again, amazing that they still decided to go for it, that they still thought they had it. Let's see. So it's said that the first group that attacked did not do great. They were met with an overwhelming number of warriors. The warriors were able to push the men back up the bluffs where they had to dig in. Custer began attacking 5 miles north of that. So they were all kind of split up and like getting ready to try to attack at the same time, I think. So anyway, Custer's 5 miles down the road. He's under heavy gunfire, and he even tried to send a note back to where he knew the other groups were. So somebody writes off with a little letter, and it's a pretty lame letter. Oh, shit, I wonder if I know I wrote it down, but it's like, it's just this really desperate cry for help where it's like, be quick, come quickly, bring party, bring pack. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It's like worse than any tweet you've ever seen in your life. But like, he was obviously under pressure. Yeah. Like, oh my God, we're going to die. But the only thing is, like, the other groups were not able to come help him because they were dug in, and they were like, it would be suicide if we, like, got up and tried to, you know, he's fucked. Yeah, when they all attacked, it was kind of pandemonium because they weren't, even though the Indians knew they were coming, they still didn't think they were going to be attacked that day. Like, they thought they had a little bit more time. So apparently Crazy Horse was in the fucking river when they attacked. So, you know, there's all these people swimming because it's a hot day. So all these people have to come rushing up out of the river. You know, there's people just off in the forest gathering shit. So all of a sudden it's like call to arms. Yeah. Like, oh my fucking God, you know? So Crazy Horse is kind of cool because him and many other warriors would not enter battle until they were properly dressed and painted and were able to receive their medicine and a prayer. So after his rituals, he and his very impatient men took the field, and apparently they kicked ass. Like, it was so fucking fast. But Crazy Horse used himself as a distraction. So he's like writing like a crazy person, be like, shoot at me. And so that like other people can get their shots in. So he's like this incredibly brave person. And then the other tactic that they were doing, too, is they noticed that the cavalrymen were starting to lose control of their horses. So they were trying to spook the horses to make them fuck off and run away. Because apparently once their horses were gone, like, all extra ammunition they had was gone, too. Because it's all in their fucking saddlebags. So everything's, like, just not going well at all for the people. Yeah, well, it's going great for the Indians. Because they're like, who are these dumb motherfuckers that just rode up on all of us? And, like, the two groups had opposite fighting styles, too, because white men are used to fighting from, like, far away. They have artillery. We have guns. You know, like, they're going to shoot at them at a nice, safe distance, they think. And then the fucking Sioux warriors are, like, just in their fucking face. Like, you know, they do not mind fighting toe-to-toe.
Like, you want to do this?
Exactly. You want to dance, motherfucker? I'll dance. So, But anyway, so the details of how are unknown, but in less than 1 hour after the attack, Custer, along with 210 of his men, were dead.
Wow.
So they died fucking fast. Yeah. And that was really Custer, because it was mostly him that fucked up really bad. Oh, sorry, I did that again. So the other two groups that had split off, so remember he like sent a couple of other people out. So the ones that were dug up like up in the bluffs, they were stuck there, but like they were still holding on. And then the other group that had run off to try to like scout for Indians running away or whatever, they like ran back over to this other guy that was dug up on the bluffs, and they were helping him dig in. And they actually were able to, like, survive for a couple days of a siege, essentially, before the Indians, like, took off. They were like, all right, we know more people are coming, so we're going. But Custer, like I said, was not so lucky. 210 of his men. And then, once the Indians learned more troops are on their way, they trickled out. When reinforcements did arrive, 300 men had survived the ordeal, but almost 300 men had died. It's estimated that only between 60 and 100 warriors had died. As great as that sounds, and it's so nice to hear a victory for the Indians, it unfortunately triggered the beginning of the end for the Sioux Nation. The army was so humiliated that they had to administer some kind of payback. So people claimed Sitting Bull murdered Custer, despite, you know, Sitting Bull saying, mm-hmm. like, he didn't participate. His arms were all fucked up. He was like, dude, I was bleeding everywhere. Like, I was not fighting that day. So, yes, I love that this is, like, something Sitting Bull said about Custer. He was a fool and rode to his death. Like, for him, that was, like, a very simple, like, yeah, he's a dumbass. Like, yeah. what do you want me to say? So, he said that he and his people continued to follow the buffalo. They were trying to just ignore the army, but the army was like right fucking behind them. The fighting continued, and even in the harsh winter, the army was relentless. Quick shout out to Ulysses S. Grant for making sure that the army had everything they could in order to capture the Indians and put them on reservations where they didn't want to fucking be. Not that other presidents didn't have anything to do with it, but
yeah,
Grant in this particular moment.
Yeah.
Fucking dick. Because I guess they just had an unyielding attitude. Like, they were not letting, like, they were just pursuing the Indians like fucking crazy. Like, they could not get away. So when the soldiers did finally catch up, Sitting Bull and his people had to leave behind everything. And with the love of Jesus in their hearts, the soldiers burned all of their shit, knowing that it would probably kill them. So in 1877, Crazy Horse and 890 people surrendered in Nebraska. Sitting Bull and his people had made it to Canada, where they were originally welcomed by Native people. But then it was like, because so many Natives were flooding in from like the United States into Canada, the like Canadians couldn't keep up with it. They were like, unfortunately, we like don't have enough food. Yeah. And so they were kind of like chased back into into the United States. Yeah, and then, like, Sitting Bull said that, like, they were always living in fear, but, like, they did end up going back to the reservation. They ended up back in South Dakota, and that's pretty much Little Bighorn. But, like, the thing with Sitting Bull, I mean, he had a pretty fucking extraordinary life, to be honest. I wish I could have done more specifically about Sitting Bull. So, like, what I got the most from the documentary, it was called, oh, God. Dude. Because I know last week, you know what I didn't do?
My fucking sources.
Okay, it's called Sitting Bull, A Stone in My Heart. So that's the documentary. That's just like a firsthand kind of account of Sitting Bull. It's really fucking good. And it makes me angry that like we don't really say his name ever. Yeah. I don't ever really remember talking about him in elementary school, junior high school. Yeah. But like the cool thing about Sitting Bull is he did like end up, he kind of went on tour. He like shot with Buffalo Bill. Like he met Annie Oakley a couple times. I guess he was like trying to, he loved her so much. He was like, let me adopt you as my daughter. She was like, no, thank you.
That's funny.
But they got along pretty well. And Sitting Bull, like he was such a cool fucking person. Like, he got along with everybody, you know, he was really all about his people because, you know, when he finally did go like, I give up. Well, first he said, even though his people were safe, like he still felt like a huge failure because like, you know, all Indians were getting fucked, you know? But like, he just had this like curiosity about him that was so sweet and genuine, even though like he didn't hate the people that like captured him. And he'd said so many times, like, if they just wanted to work with us, like, we wouldn't mind. Yeah. We just want to be left alone. And, like, that was way too much to ask of fucking white men in the 1880s. So, I don't remember when he died, but I do know, I feel bad, because I think Crazy Horse died a year later.
Oh.
It was, like, a total fucking trap. Something happened where, like, he got into a scuffle with somebody. They were trying to take him, and he didn't want to go. And somebody ended up, like, shooting him or stabbing him, and he died, like, a day later. And, you know, because he was there at their request to talk to them.
Sitting Bull or Crazy Horse?
I'm sorry, Crazy Horse.
Sorry, I was just wondering.
No. Yeah, okay. So that was how Crazy Horse died.
Did Sitting Bull die of, like, natural causes or just, like...
I gotta be honest, I feel really bad. I don't remember. This was such a panicked, put-together thing. But, I mean, he lived... it sounds like he lived a long time. I would guess he died of natural causes. I feel bad saying that. Well, now that my internet's back up, I probably could look at it. But yeah, so Custer, Crazy Horse. And like, well, it was sad too, because when he went on tour, like, he made a ton of money. And this was the other thing. Like, one of the people that was like in charge of the reservation where he was at in South Dakota, he hated Sitting Bull. He's like, he's a pompous, arrogant murderer. Like, he hated Sitting Bull with a fucking passion.
Because of the Custer thing?
Because of the Custer thing. And I think he just didn't like Indians. He just sounded like a racist asshole.
Yeah.
Well, Sitting Bull goes out. He makes all this money because he, like, charges people for his autograph. Because, I don't know, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
But he gives all of his money to the poor people in the area, and then he comes back home and he gives his money to the poor people that he's living with. And then this douchebag Indian Affairs guy is like, he doesn't even know how to spend his money properly. Like, he's so angry at the idea that this man, this savage, gave his money to poor people.
Okay, I looked up how he
thank
died.
Thank you.
It says, on December 15th, 1890, Indian police woke the sleeping Sitting Bull in his bed at 6 a.m. When he refused to go quietly, a crowd gathered. A young man shot a member of the Indian police, who retaliated by shooting Sitting Bull in the head and chest. Sitting Bull died instantly from the gunshot wounds.
Remember how 2 seconds ago we were talking about how he probably died of natural causes? Somebody naturally put a bullet in his fucking skull because they're an asshole. My apologies. Thank God you looked that up, because that would have been a bad end.
Yeah, and apparently he was buried at Fort Yates Military Cemetery in North Dakota by the Army.
Oh, that.
And then in 1953, family members exhumed what they thought was his grave and reburied the bones they found near Mobridge, South Dakota, overlooking the Missouri River.
Oh, thank you. Oh, fuck, man. Yeah. Thank you. That was half my paper. I was like, you having to look up how he died. No. I'm sorry. Oh. Man, that's such a bummer. Yeah. Fucking Sitting Bull, man.
I wonder if it says how old he was.
Well, because he didn't know exactly when he was born. They think he was born around 1832. So okay, if he died in 1890, 30, hold on. What are we, 32, 42, 52, 62, 72, 82. So 50-something years.
Okay.
We did it.
You did it.
No, okay, so like John, because you know he's missing half that toe, so now anytime I have asked him a math question, or like I heard, okay, so like Bill and Lori, we were at their house, I think, or they were here, whatever, but like they asked him a math question, I was like, he doesn't know, he's only got like 9.5 toes.
That's funny.
I almost said 19.5 toes. Anyways, yeah, so well, shit, man, we've been doing this long enough, and I know you've got
a lot of editing. It's okay,
your early dinner you have to get to with your elderly sister.
We're actually doing good in time. I thought it was later,
right? Well, probably, I don't know, the last few we've done, we've like chatted and chatted and never stopped
today
chatting.
I was like, don't chat too much, just
for me. Oh, we can never chat too much, but on that note, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good luck.
Good riddance.
Do better research. Oh, I also went to nps.gov for Little Bighorn Battle. Okay, that was it. And goodbye.
Right, bye.